Money FM 89.3, the best of the afternoon update. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Market Wrap of the Week. I'm Hongbin Jung, and before we get started, let's take a quick look at how markets are faring this top of the hour. It's currently around 1:08 p.m. The Straits Times Index is a little above the flat line. It's up 0.03% at 3,208 points. Decliners, though, are leading the pack by just a little bit, 154, with advancers at 151 after 455 million securities worth 436 million Singapore dollars changed hands so far. Well, without further ado, to look at how markets perform in the past week, we have Jeff Howie, market strategist at the SGX. Jeff, welcome back.
Hi, Hongbin. Thank you.
How has your week been?
It's been too quick. Feels like a four-day week.
Next week we'll have a four-day week. But anyway, Singapore shares opened higher today, but it's a little bit above the flat line right now. How did the STI fare this past week?
Yeah, you know, quiet. We kicked off Monday pretty much at the preceding week's close, so that's around that 3,200 level. So we made it up to 3,232 up on Tuesday, but then the rest of the week has been pretty tight in terms of trading conditions, and that means we've returned back to 3,200, really marking a lot of time there when you look at it from the perspective of what the STI is doing. So it's been a quiet week, albeit, I guess, a little bit defensive, given that the FTSE APAC ex Japan's down around 1.3% while we're up a little bit.
I see. So who were the biggest movers on the STI this week?
For the gainers, you have SATS, which is which was up 4.4% over the first 4 days. Singapore Airlines added to last week's gains, so it was up 3%. DBS was up 2.5%. And UOL and United Overseas Bank were both up 1%. And DBS and UOB also led the net institutional inflows into our market for the last 4 days. And today, when you look at it, you know, SATS is unchanged. Singapore Airlines down a little bit. DBS up a bit more. For the decliners, you've got Capital Land Ascendas REIT, Keppel Corp, Fraser Logistics Commercial Trust, Mapletree Pan Asia Commercial Trust, and Gunting Singapore. So of those, though, Fraser Logistics and Commercial Trust, it was down 2.4% for the first four sessions of the week, but it's up 1.7% today. But overall, from a sector performance, REITs did book the highest net institutional outflows for the first four sessions of the week.
I see. And taking a look at earnings season as well, last week we talked about SIA, but this week let's talk about Singtel, because it appears as Singtel has done very well with 14% higher earnings for the fiscal year 2023. Jeff, what has triggered such positive numbers for Singtel?
Well, it attributed that higher earnings, that 14% growth, to robust mobile growth, price uplifts as the international travel and the roaming had recovered, and they also called out rising 5G adoption and an increase in demand for ICT services. Now, this is pretty important because as a service-producing industry looking outside to Singtel, information communications, it makes up 5.5% of Singapore's GDP, and that's up something from around 4% 5 years ago. And if you look at the components of our GDP, information and communications output, it was up 3.2% year-on-year in the first quarter of this year, after it had soared 8.6% last year in 2022. So, you know, I just think it's interesting we should call it out, because if there was such a thing as a G7 that was based on the value of exports and imports of commercial services, then Singapore would actually be pretty close to near inclusion, because it ranks 8th largest exporter and 9th largest import of commercial services across the globe. But back to Singtel, because I just had to digress there, sorry. When you look, break up the revenue, so as you said, it was 14% net profit growth, and it was 14.6 billion Sing dollars of operating revenue for the FY. And it was mainly segmented to 52% Optus, 12% to Singapore Consumer, 17% to its business group enterprise, and then 19% to NCS. And NCS offers ICT, including cyber and IT services and professional consulting. It's the digital growth engine in Australia now as well, and it's been operating as an autonomous unit since January of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess just one final point on it, from the ongoing strategic reset and Singtel's repositioning for growth, some milestones for the last FY included Singtel forming its regional data center platform, so it's extended that footprint to Indonesia and Thailand. Secondly, you had Singtel combine its Australia consumer and enterprise business, and then thirdly, it divested Amobi, and then finally, it divested that partial stake in Bharti Airtel.
I see. And speaking of earnings season, moving away from Singapore's earnings season, I want to talk about elsewhere. We have NVIDIA. That has been trending since yesterday. I mean, it's touching a distance of a remarkable $1 trillion market value. What's going on there, Jeff?
Yeah, two letters, AI. So AI and technology sector, mm-hmm. because of AI, firstly, and then the technology sector increasingly looking towards 2024.
Mm.
You've got, for instance, Gartner, Worldwide Semiconductor Trade Statistics, your Semiconductor Industry Association. So there's three associations that have all projected this cyclical downturn in high tech this year, but a recovery next year. And that's on this ever-increasing role of chips in powering critical tech of tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
As well as excessive chip supply easing. So AEM, I guess, also paralleling that somewhat. They highlighted with their first quarter results that looking beyond this year, the future of the semiconductor industry is looking mm-hmm. very promising, because there is this recent excitement over generative artificial intelligence such as ChatGPT,
mm-hmm.
which is fueling demand for AI-focused semiconductor devices that enable those solutions, you know, to be delivered to the masses at good enough prices for mm-hmm. us to pay. So, AEM as well has noted its inventory levels are reducing, and inventory corrections are expected to conclude late this year, early next year. So that's really it, inventory and the exciting demand of AI and this tech cycle potentially coming to an end, but mm-hmm. obviously there is downside risk to that as well.
Well, I mean, NVIDIA, it saw a 24% rise in stock price, and that means it's now worth around $939.3 billion. And that's more than Tesla and Facebook for now. But, I mean, they're just inches away from hitting that $1 trillion mark. So can they join? Do you see them joining Apple and Amazon in that, $1 trillion club?
Yeah, I mean, it is quite possible. Like you said, it was a very sharp move up mm-hmm. towards $400 thereabouts. I think it was around $385 thereabouts, or $380. But it does depend on this tech cycle very much. So as we said, the more clarity and transparency you're getting in terms of demand and supply factors going into 2024,
mm-hmm.
then market will heat up a little bit and maybe be a little bit more volatile for the upside and downside.
I see. And moving on to some of the latest developments in Singapore's economy, some key numbers released this week. Let's start with inflation. Headline inflation, that rebounded to 5.7% year-on-year, while core inflation remained unchanged at 5%. I mean, they appear to be a bit higher than economists' forecasts. What were your forecasts? Did they meet your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, the median was 5.5% for headline, so it was a little bit higher. And it was also 5.5 in March, so it was high at 5.7. What drove it was services and private transport.
Mm.
So yeah, as a private transport user, maybe I could have foreseen a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the MAS and Ministry of Trade Industry have noted your private transport accommodation inflation, it is expected to moderate over the course of the year.
Mm.
And that's on the back of an increase in the COE quota
mm-hmm.
and a ramp up in the supply of housing units available for rental. So that's pretty important looking ahead. And then just yesterday, MTI added to that, that noting that Singapore labour market has been tight across sectors. Bottlenecks have started easing as foreign workers have returned.
Mm-hmm.
And that is still, though, translating into this sticky service price inflation. However, this headline inflation, as though it's still elevated, is moderating somewhat.
I see. I mean, then will these numbers be enough for MAS to change its monetary policy settings in October? I mean, they paused last time they met, right?
Yeah, and there's a lot to happen between now and October. So yeah, the last move was in October of 2022, and the balance that there is a fine balance between what's happening with the external impacts on our decelerating GDP growth, and of course the impact it's having on the potential moderation trajectory for inflation. So
right.
I think what's really important and what where much focus will be is if inflation is expected to be contained, we have to focus on the growth. You cannot overlook the impact that potentially more geopolitical fragmentation could happen. That is a downside economic risk. This was the focus of the IMF's very first staff discussion note for this year. They maintained that the deeper the fragmentation, the deeper the costs. The technology decoupling, it amplifies losses from trade restrictions, and you can have potentially large adjustment costs to global output. So their modelling said trade fragmentation could range from a 0.2% impact on global GDP if you have limited fragmentation or a low-cost adjustment scenario, but it could be up to a 7% impact on GDP if you do have severe fragmentation. So this is one one remaining fluid outlook that we have to watch and keep our eyes on as well, because it does impact growth.
And yesterday also, GDP figures that were released, I mean, GDP growth, it looks like in the first quarter, came in at 0.4% year-on-year. It did surprise private sector economists, though. How about you?
Yeah, it was better than expected, and it was better than the advance numbers. So up 0.4% year-on-year, but down 0.4% quarter-on-quarter. So there isn't potential for another quarter-on-quarter decline in this quarter that we're on right now, which would tip us into technical recession. But, of course, whenever this occurs, you look for the bigger, broader, wide-ranging indicators such as employment and retail sales and so forth. But look, the week before we saw the IMF maintain we're going to print 1% growth this year. That's a deceleration from 3.6% last year. What's driving it is this weak performance of the trade-orientated sectors and, of course, external headwinds. So what the Ministry of Trade and Industry did maintain is that the electronics down cycle is likely to be deeper and more prolonged than they earlier projected. And then you've got spillovers also from China's services-led recovery. They're not so strong as if we had spillovers from a more industrial-led import-intensive recovery in China.
I see. And before we ask you about what else we could look out for next week, Jeff, I mean, the headlines of U.S. debt ceiling talks, we've been talking about it, I feel, for like 3 weeks now. How is this issue continuing to move markets?
Yeah, look, I mean, markets are not pricing in a complete failure.
Yeah.
You know, but basically you can tell that. Your US 1 year CDS swap rate, it's holding the line at 160 basis points, or 1.6%. That's basically your cost of insuring exposure to US sovereign debt. Because the narratives are that they will get this done. It does have the ability, though, to induce volatility if we see a little bit of a turnaround in the narrative over the next week and it becomes more partisan. And it might even go past 1st of June, because the debate was always going to go down right down to the wire. You're going to have this posturing by both sides of the House. There's a lot at stake with the November 2024 general U.S. elections. So this is the time that many of the politicians in Washington need to prove themselves to their constituents and their fundraisers, and hence they will stick to their guns, I think, right down, possibly even past the wire. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to watch.
But
obviously, yeah, you wouldn't expect a catastrophic impact, because no one wins from that.
So, but will there be any risks that remain if these talks continue after, even after June 1st?
Yep, it definitely would increase volatility. So, any highly partisan talk that we've seen in recent weeks, it does induce volatility in equities, and we've seen the price of gold actually increase on the back of that equity volatility, and then obviously any kind of bipartisan talk, and look for common ground obviously decreases the volatility. So you would expect the market to be more volatile as we go past the 11th hour.
I see. And Jeff, finally, is there anything else investors should be looking out for next week? I mean, it's a short week next week.
Yeah, it is. But I think before we get there, you've got US PCE core deflator tonight. That's the one, the Fed watch. That's the one that's been range-bound between 4.3 and 5.3% for the past 18 months. Came in at 4.6% for March. It's the preferred and very persistent gauge of inflation that the Fed has been focused on. And so much so that, remember, immediately following that May FOMC, we had markets dead set, 100% certain that the Fed would pause on the 14th of June. Right. But those odds, Hongbin, they've now dropped to 60%. So this is going to be a real key number, and we could see market reaction extend to next week based on what this number is. But we've also got the beige book for the Fed Thursday next week, 2 a.m. U.S. employment data will come out next Friday night, not tonight. And also some focus on South Korea. GDP and CPI for South Korea are due on Friday. It is in focus given the Bank of Korea has again kept its benchmark 7-day repo rate at 3.5%. And you've got GDP there expected to come in at 1.4% and inflation at 3.5% this year. We can learn, you know, there are a lot of similarities. The exports of South Korea and Singapore's Nordex both been in contraction since the beginning of October last year.
I see. Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Hongbin.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Talk again soon. Cheers.
Cheers. We've been speaking with Jeff Howie, market strategist at the SGX. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.